Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, it is Friday morning. Hope you're planning a really great weekend, everyone. I have a special treat for you today. His name is Nathaniel Jay. He goes by Jay, and he will be on with us in a very few minutes. He works for a company of his own called Supermind. And it would be really great to ask him all about it when he gets on the air with us. Just wanted to let you know that I have someone lined up for us, another special treat for Monday morning as well. Doing my show regularly at 9 o'clock now, so spread the word. The person who's on with us at 9 o'clock is named Naomi Tickle, and she reads faces, and she teaches us other people how to read faces, and she teaches how that can be helpful in your work, etc., etc. And here is Nathaniel Jay on the line with us now. Thank you so much for being on with me, Jay. How are you today?
I'm really well. Thanks, Sue, for having me on.
Good, good. I'm glad you're well. And can you tell us about the mission of Supermind and how that got started?
Yeah, certainly. Well, I've always been interested in intelligence and philosophies and the way people know things and interact with the world. And I realized that intelligence is something that for almost everyone is very abstract and kind of distant. We have different ideas about what intelligence is and how we are or are not intelligent, but for the most part, a lot of our ideas about intelligence are quite vague. So I wanted to be able to explain intelligence in a way that would make it very relatable for people, very understandable, and also very experiential. So you'd actually be able to feel what it is like to operate intelligence in different ways. I think,
I haven't heard intelligence put in a sentence just that way. How do we operate intelligence? Can you explain that?
Yeah, certainly. Well, I think, first of all, just to have some context, most people feel that intelligence is something you're born with, and then you're either smart or you're not, or somewhere in between. But from what I've been seeing, intelligence can actually be broken down into a number of definite skill sets, which are then trainable and teachable. So it's not really you have it or you're not, but you could actually learn to be more intelligent.
Okay, I'm sorry I interrupted. What were you about to say before I interrupted?
I think I was just going to summarize what I was saying in the beginning, which is just that it's a way of making intelligence your own. In a way, having an actual relationship with an ability or skill or something that is intelligence, rather than feeling that it's remote and distant.
Very cool. Now, how do you go about teaching that to other people? Do you have classes or workshops?
Well, at this stage, I'm beginning to give a series of talks within the Mensa Society. And in the course of those talks, there are several different exercises and practices that we do go through. And those train several of the different areas of intelligence, for instance, developing content, what I call content. What something is, all the different aspects of what a person or a company or anything that you'd want to know more about, what's the composition of that? It's just basically the information behind something. How do you acquire that when you're not on Wikipedia, for instance? How do you acquire that through your own intelligence? So we do practices on that. Also developing what I call a mobility of thought, being able to take conscious control of the directions that your thoughts go in, how you want to move in your thoughts. Most of the time, it's almost like we're in a storm within our own thoughts. We're going where the wind is taking us, so to speak. But how to develop more focus in what we're thinking about.
Absolutely, I can totally relate to that. Now, in your work, do you ever touch on the mode of intelligence that a lot of us call psychic?
Perhaps. often with words, people have somewhat different definitions. So I'm not sure mine is exactly the same as yours. However, one big thing that I've been looking at is what the ancient Greeks used to call nous. And some people may have heard of that term, others not. It's actually the Greek word, which is often translated in English into words like intuition, insight, perhaps even epiphany, revelation, discovery. It's when you know something kind of out of the blue. It's the light bulb effect. So you have a flash of knowledge, and somehow you know something which didn't really come from perhaps your immediate surroundings. And I guess you could say that's psychic, although that's not the term I use, but it could be something similar.
Absolutely. I was just wondering, excuse me for throwing that in, I hope you don't mind.
No, not at all.
And okay, good. Now, when did you first decide to begin your company, Supermind, and how did that come about?
Well, just to clarify, it's not much of a company at this point. It's more just a knowledge and a series of talks I'm giving that could lead into a way that you could teach intelligence. So there's not really a business model. I don't really think about it as a business. It's more of a knowledge and a series of something that's teachable. But to answer your question, I've always been interested in the thinkers of the world, the philosophers, you know, of the last 2,500 years, wherever, people who have been able to really see how we know things. And then in the last couple of years, I was very interested in how groups interact, but then I noticed when I was doing my research on groups and group dynamics that I was doing more and more research on how individuals actually think and know things and scientific research behind that. So I guess about 2 years ago, I switched over completely into the knowledge base that we have about intelligence and how we think. So that's when it started. Was there another part of that question?
Let me think. I was asking you how you came to the realization that this was something that you wanted to do. You've always been interested. What got you interested?
Yeah. Well, as I said, it was always a lifelong interest of me, even when I was in high school. And, you know, they give you, they give you that required reading of Plato sometimes in your government class or whatever. You have to read The Republic. And I didn't make it very far in high school. I think I got one chapter through or one book. But there was something in me that knew that I had to know what these philosophers, these thinkers, I had to know what they were saying and what they brought to the world. So 2 or 3 years ago, I really made a systematic beginning of being very clear about, for instance, just starting at the Greeks and moving forwards through history and seeing what the different time periods had to say about intelligence and even how intelligence has evolved, which most people don't even think about, that intelligence could have changed over time. If anything, we think that modern people are the smartest and people in the past used to be kind of stupid. But it's very interesting from reading a lot of the ancient Greeks that those guys are very, very sharp with any of our thinkers today in terms of absolute knowledge and intelligence. I mean, they didn't have all the scientific discoveries that we have these days and all the knowledge about the physical world, but they had no shortage of intelligence.
You know, in my humble opinion, cavemen were just as smart as we are today, our caveman ancestors, because they were using what they had to work with and they came up with what they needed to use. It wasn't a matter of, you know, let's put this thing under a microscope and see what it does for us. It was a matter of, I have to survive, so, you know, how am I going to make fire? How am I going to get this meat cooked? How am I going to be safe at night from these other creatures that could eat me? And they figured out ways to do that.
Yeah, you know, that reminds me of one of the I guess one of the basic parts of what I'm calling supermind is that there's different kinds of intelligence. And the one that we're very used to in our modern society is logical reasoning, being rational.
Absolutely.
So, for instance, if someone's considered irrational, that's a That's a big insult in a way, you know. It's all about rationality and logic, which was formulated by Aristotle 2,500 years ago. However, if you go back in time before that, for instance, the cavemen or anywhere in between, they didn't really use logic the way we're so used to now because it hadn't really been developed. So that's where you get more of an instinctual type knowledge, a knowledge of your surroundings, your experiences from what you do. It's almost like DIY knowledge. And that relates to the concept of nous, which I was speaking of earlier. So when I talk about supermind, it's very much dealing with these two different streams of knowledge, the rational stream, which is so dominating our society now, and more intuition or noetic type knowledge, which isn't as accepted by the scientific community now, but nonetheless, everyone has experiences of intuition.
Let me theorize just for a minute. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that maybe the noose was put to use by our caveman ancestors, too, when they were trapping food, hunting and trapping. Maybe they had to sometimes put themselves in, you know, look through the eyes of their quarry and say, well, which way is this animal going to run when he comes out of his den, so that they knew where they had to put a pit and cover the pit, you know, that their quarry was going to fall into, they hoped, so that they could catch it and eat it.
Well, I think that's a good example. And when I hear you talk about that, one thing that comes to me is that it's probably a combination of things. I could see them having some kind of what I might call habitual knowledge from the clan or whatever about how the hunt occurs, how the trap occurs. So there's this built-up memory almost of what it is to do those sort of things in daily life. And on top of that, there's also this intuition about what happens next, which way the animal goes. I say it like this because I've spent a lot of time trying to break down situations or experiences people have into different, say, components of intelligence, what's actually happening in their minds.
Okay, while I'm thinking about it, can you please give out some information for yourself so that my listeners will know where to go to get in on one of your talks?
Yeah, sure. The best place right now is just to go to the web and type in supermind.io. And there's some information about what it's all about. And at the bottom, there's a contact.
What does IO stand for?
It's one of those country codes. I think it's an island somewhere in the Pacific. I could be wrong. Excuse me if you're in that country. But it's a domain suffix that's used quite a bit in California, in the Silicon Valley, for tech companies. And since this is a bit of a technology of thinking, I use that one. So I as in iodine, O as in Oscar, supermind.io.
Okay, right on.
Yeah.
I'm terribly sorry about the dogs barking, interrupting a little bit there.
I have a dog, too.
Not sure what they were barking at. Okay, good. Dogs make our lives so great. So look them up on the web at supermind.io. If you want to call in and ask them any questions right now, the number is 347-677-1860. You're listening to Sue Hirsch and Nathaniel Jay, who goes by Jay, on 100 People You Should Know via Blog Talk Radio on this beautiful Friday morning. And we have another 15 minutes. Is there anything that I haven't asked you yet, Jay, that you'd really like me to ask you on the air? Is there anything that you'd really like to tell our listeners?
Well, I'm sure there's lots. I'm only at the tip of discovering what this is all about, and already there's so much fascinating information about what intelligence is. I think a lot of the things that I've noticed is that I'm talking about the Greeks because I've been focusing there recently a lot, and one of the things that in relating the two systems of logic and nous, it's quite interesting to see that Aristotle himself, who was the originator of logic, he also speaks about nous, this intuitive knowledge. And at times he says nous is actually more true than logic, which I found fascinating from the originator of logic. So
right.
he had a very healthy awareness and respect for intuitive knowledge, although it wasn't really his thing to talk about it that much, because he certainly knew about it.
Now, who in our modern day has been a great influence on you and your work?
Well, in terms of news, there is some scientific reports or research on intuition these days, and increasingly you do see popular scientific books on how to get into the flow of thinking and so on. However, none of those writers have really been a touchstone for me necessarily. I've actually been working my way up through the ancient thinkers. So primarily the ancient thinkers, I'd say, at this point, although I'm sure I'm going to discover people who are significant now as well. I think one thing that's really interesting, which I haven't really mentioned so much, is that my own experiences have helped a lot in deciphering, so to speak, the code of intelligence. I've spent several years within a school of meditation and consciousness where we, as a group, spend time looking at the dynamics of thinking and states of consciousness and how intuition really actually occurs, the process of it.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went back and I looked at some of the writings of Plato or the Neoplatonics, Aristotle, the others, and they talk about these states, they talk about nous, it was quite easy to understand what they were saying because I'd had these experiences myself, and I knew exactly what they meant. Whereas when you look in the academic literature nowadays, and they try to reinterpret what Plato and the others were talking about, you find that they're not quite connecting. They don't really know what they're saying, and so they try to reinterpret it from the perspective of rational, logical thinking, since that's so dominant in our era. But that's where it doesn't really match up so much.
I see.
Does that make sense, or is that too complicated?
I'd like to understand it a little better, actually, is what I was about to say, which I need an example, a really specific example of what didn't match up.
Okay, well, I mean, just the translation of the word nous, for instance.
Uh-huh.
Where some of the academics translate it, for instance, as comprehension,
mm-hmm.
which connotates something like you're in school, you're starting to learn, you're reading the book, you're in class, you're learning, and then you comprehend the subject matter.
I see.
It's almost this like 1900s kind of schoolroom type of comprehension. Whereas nous itself is really what the Greeks are saying is it's this intuition, it's the light bulb. It's not that you've been accumulating the facts, so to speak. Not to say that facts aren't important, but somehow you've had a revelation, you've had a flash of discovery. Really the light bulb effect. And it's not really comprehension.
Right.
So you can see in their footnotes and in the translation of the word that they're not really on board with the system of intuition or insight.
Right. Got it.
And so what happens is when, if you try to think about intelligence solely from the perspective of logic, which is dominant, you're missing a whole other half of what intelligence really is and can be.
Right.
And to follow up on that,
I've seen that
intuition and insight are really, that's the half that really makes the whole thing meaningful to us individually.
Right. It's like owning the comprehension.
Yeah.
Where you're like, it's a place where you're like in the zone, or you feel the comprehension through your whole being. It's that level of understanding.
Precisely,
it
often means something personally relevant for you. When you have a flash of inspiration, it means something for you in your life. It's like, oh, that was a big deal that that happened.
Right.
And,
it's usually connected to a strong emotion at that point.
It can be. It can be.
Yeah.
And to go back to the Greeks just briefly, one of them, Heraclitus, says that, you know, nous doesn't come from learning facts. It's like much learning does not produce nous, he says. So he's saying right there, it's not about
right.
book smarts. This part of
right.
intelligence is about being open
right.
to
that
to,
other level. I associate with people usually saying in response to some new information you've given them, with response like, oh, I can relate to that. You know, that kind of thing has happened to me or I've come across that in my own life. You know, and this is what happened, and it was memorable for them. And it was a big deal for them. So that's the way in which they understand it. That's that deeper level at which they understand it.
Yeah, certainly. I think that...
And are you saying in your talks that we can get at that level of understanding on demand by doing certain things or by learning it in a certain way?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up that point, because it's important. Usually when we think of intelligence, we think about it just being something that is. But when it is a learnable, teachable skill, it's kind of like, an example I use is like being someone who can run really fast, an Olympic sprinter. They have an incredible ability, but they're not always running really fast. They're doing it
right.
when they want to. And it's
right,
the same
right.
with intelligence. When you know how to train your thinking process, when you need to be on, when you need to be smart, you can do it. But in situations where that's not called for, you don't have to be the brainy guy. You can be whatever.
Right.
So it's also empowering to feel like you can harness a certain intelligence, ability of intelligence when necessary.
Uh-huh.
It's it empowers you to be able to do things.
Now, do you have any nice offer in this last 7 minutes that you can make to our listeners if they want to come to one of your talks and they tell you that they heard about you on my radio show, they heard you talking on my show, can you give them a nice little discount for, you know, to come into your talk?
Well, I wish I could. Right now the talks are being held by the Mensa Society. I don't really have any control over their admissions policies.
Oh, I see.
So, however, if someone does come through this program, I would be delighted personally. And regardless of
what if,
sorry,
what
go ahead.
If they're like me and they find you via this talk, or they discover you on my show today and they want to come to you and ask you to speak at their function, would that be okay?
Totally. I would love to speak to as many people as possible about this at this point, because I think it's a fascinating topic. And if people find it useful, I'm happy to speak about it.
And
so
where are you based, and how far will you go from your home base to go to a talk for someone?
Well, I'm in San Francisco, and
okay.
we have a number of venues out here. However, if someone else is, I don't mind traveling, so... It's all about, I guess, the context a little bit, what the situation would be like, but I'm happy to go almost anywhere. I feel really good talking about the topic.
And
I mean, we'd have to work out the arrangements and see what's feasible,
right.
but I'm happy to speak about it.
Okay, that would be great. So remember that, folks, and if you want Jay of Supermind to speak at your function, give him a call at... Jay, that's your cue.
At supermind.io.
And I'm sure that Jay will be happy to speak at your function, as you've just heard. And number here, if you want to call in and ask a quick question in the next 5 minutes, is 347-677-1860. And Jay, is there anything else, any one final message in a nutshell that you'd like to get to my listeners in these last 5 minutes?
Well, again, there's probably many, but the one I'm thinking of now is when we were speaking of how intuition is a relatable experience, I was thinking that Often we think and are grateful for moments of inspiration. However, we don't feel that they're necessarily reproducible. And we don't think of them as a quality of intelligence. However, from what I've seen, intuition is something that we can set a context for to happen more regularly. There are certain things we can do. There's ways we can train our thinking to actually bring intuition regularly into our lives. And it really is another system of intelligence. And in so being, it can be practiced. It can be, you can set the stage for intuition to be a big part of your life rather than having to necessarily wait for the flash.
That sounds great. That sounds great. I would like to be able to do that more in my own life.
Me too.
And I'm sure a lot of people would. A lot of people, you know, who know me really well would say to me something to the effect of, well, Sue, you already do that, because I do something that I call psychic readings, which is just me somehow being able to tell people about what one of their grandparents looked like when I had never met them, because they've passed on before I even met the person that I'm talking to. And I can tell them, like, what that grandparent is saying to them, if they have a message for them kind of thing. And I can describe the grandparent. I can give a physical description of the grandparent as they were in life, and get confirmation on that from the person I'm talking to. So somehow I know this is right, but I don't know how I'm getting the information, and I don't know then how to reproduce that effect of getting the information.
So it just comes to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's interesting, though, to be able to see how it occurs. That's what I'd be curious about.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I wish there was some way that scientists could study that and figure it out so everybody could do it, because everybody, you know, I talk to kind of wants to be able to do what I do when they've gotten to know me and they've seen how this can help them get some resolution about certain things. And what's your take on that?
Well, I don't have a lot of insight about how it happens. Obviously, a lot of different people have had experiences similar to yours. Our modern science dismisses them because it's very rationally based. So
it's like when you know who's going to be on the other end of the line when the phone rings before you even pick up the phone. And that can sometimes be explained away, like, oh, this person always calls about this time, you know, that sort of thing. But sometimes it can't. Sometimes it's out of the blue and sporadic. Anyway, we've got 1 minute left here, and I just wanted to take a minute to thank you so, so much for being on my show. And thank you for talking to my listeners. And do you want to say goodbye to my listeners before I let you go?
Sure, and I'd also like to say thanks to you so much, Sue, for having me on. And it was a real pleasure, and I haven't been on a radio talk show before, and it's quite an enjoyable experience.
You didn't act or speak like an amateur at all.
Oh, fantastic, wonderful. Yeah, I just if anyone's interested, I'm happy to speak to anyone personally or in groups. And I think it's a fascinating topic. I'm hoping to write a book about it soon. So,
oh, great. That will add, I want
some
your book.
Context to it. Oh, good. Yeah.
I want a signed copy of your book when it comes out. So remember me, okay?
No problem. I promise.
Super, super. I will talk to you another day then. Thanks so much. I'll send you a link to the show. Bye bye.
Thank you,
Sue. Bye bye, Jay.
Bye.
Okay. Bye bye. So, folks, That is Nathaniel Jay, who goes by Jay of Supermind, that you've listened to today on my show, 100 People You Should Know Radio Show, via Blog Talk Radio. This was a really cool show. I hope you'll pass it on, share it with your friends. And I will put the link up. I'm sure it's already up, actually, on Facebook, because this show does that automatically for me. I hope that you've had a really great time and learned a lot from my show today. And I'll let you go and have a wonderful weekend. Talk to you all later on Monday at 9 a.m. this Monday. I have another great guest for you, so be here. Bye-bye.